Very nice job, guys. Thanks. Okay, Dave, get up here. We're going to do some kind of slapstick, I don't know, dance, whatever. You can't beat him, you got to join him. So, well, we have baby dedication this morning. Stella Elizabeth and Major Alexander. Pastor Russ can do that in a few minutes here. Walking club. If you're interested in walking, pull it back here. Interested in walking, then you can walk to that club every Monday at 9 o'clock at Darby Bend Lakes. Oh, they're not walking tomorrow because we have Leslie Adkins' graveside in Tip City. If you want to come and pray every Wednesday, we pray at noon here at the church. So if you want to come pray for that, where two or more are gathered. There's been more than two, but we'd like to have more than four or five or six or ten. Choir practice is off for the 23rd, so you get a break. Happy Thanksgiving. Dave says he's going to give you a break this time. Zoom Bible study every Saturday at 9:30. My wife runs that. If you can't make it to church, you can Zoom in on the computer here as well. Just let her know your email. Christmas in the Park, Friday and Saturday, December 8th and 9th, uptown. If you can help with that, see Kathy Harless. Kathy's back here. Kathy, raise your hand. That's Kathy back there. If you want to see the financial report or mission commission report, it's on the bulletin board out there. You can check that. We need help in the nursery. So if you can help in the nursery with young kids and babies, see Tina Skelf.
That's right, she's in charge.
Tina's in charge now. If you're interested in membership, see me, and we'll have a membership class. And we have 46 shoe boxes so far to send out, so that's a good thing for our church. And we send condolences to Leslie Adkins' family. There's the funeral is tonight at Tidd Funeral Home in Hilliard. The viewing is from 4 to 7, and the funeral's at 7 o'clock. So if you want to show up for that, that'll be great. If you want to go to the graveside, that's in Tip City. That'll be tomorrow at 11, so you can see me for directions if you're interested in that. So everybody have a good week. Well, some of you haven't. We'll be praying for you. We'll be praying for you. Haven't had a good week. Okay, Pastor Russ, where are you hiding? Dedicate those babies.
Well, good morning. What a pleasant group to look at. I want to tell you, this is a place that looks like they filled the house. You know, so I am glad to see such crowd. Well, I know that the Neely family and they're come to heal the children, and that's wonderful. We're glad you're here. We've got visitors of my own. These children we're about to dedicate are my grandchildren. Amen. And so bless them. We're proud to do that and happy to do that. And we don't do a lot of this sort of thing, so I'm not polished, but I'm not polished, but I'm proud. I'll say, yeah. So we will just, and I don't mean that in a prideful way. I'm gloriously proud of what the Lord has blessed us with. How about that? Not proud about anything I've accomplished. Boy, if I accomplished it on my own, it probably won't stand. But with the help of the Lord, we can do all things. We can do all things. Well, I'm going to quit talking and call these children up, and we'll see how we can get through this without crying.
Tears of joy.
There you go. These are two pretty babies, fellas, girls and boys and men and women. I'm about to introduce you to two pretty babies. This here is Stella Elizabeth. It's very hard for me not to say Sarah Elizabeth, because that was the child's, his mother's name, but is her mother's name. But Stella Elizabeth Miller, and this is Major Alexander. I won't call him Major Anthony. I think, from the I Dream of Jeannie. But Major Alexander Miller. Look at that. Show him your good looks there, fella. Yeah. Anyway, these two children do bring joy to our hearts, and we are so thankful that we are part of that. First thing, one thing we do want to introduce is one thing about the child dedication in our church, and we're aware of it. It's not a child baptism, per se. We wait until the child has opportunity to make their own decision to be baptized. And it's not a child dedication that promotes anything that, other than your, as parents, willingness and saying that you will train this child, these children, in the way that they need to go. So I wish there was a button that came or something we could say that do that automatically, when we bring these children forward, we could push that button and they're going to be a part of the family of God forever and ever. But it doesn't work that way. Every generation, every individual is responsible for that relationship between them and the Father. But we do know that we have a great opportunity when they're young to bring their little young hearts toward that decision that will allow them to decide at that time that that they are going to be one of God's people. So, just saying that, I'm going to start with a little reading here. This comes out of Deuteronomy, of course. Let us hear the word of the Lord as it comes from Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is the commandment of God, that we should diligently rear our children in the most holy faith, in obedience to command these parents bring their children today to present them to the Lord. The significance of child dedication is found in the intent of the parents. Rightly understood, the ceremony is one of parental dedication. You as parents are pledging yourselves to obey the command of Paul, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them into the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This ceremony is meaningless unless you as parents dedicate yourselves to the high challenge of training your children in the way of the Lord. If it is your intention to present these children to the Lord and pledge yourselves to bring them up in the nature and admiration of the Lord, please answer, we do, to the following questions. Do you this day recognize that these children as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessings? We do. Do you this day dedicate these children to the Lord who gave them to you? Do you this day pledge as parents that you will bring them up, these children, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? We do. Do you this day promise to give these children, every possible benefit of the home, of the school, and of the church?
We do.
Do you this day ask God's blessings upon the lives, and to guide and guard and direct through all of the years of these children's lives? Okay, I'm going to have to change hands here.
Stella first, and Stella came to this little world first, didn't she? Stella was first out, and so she is the girl's first, huh?
Would you hold this one? Look at me, honey. Papa is here with you. Papa, as long as he has breath, will be with you, baby. We dedicate this child in the name of the Lord and by the parents' agreement to the Lord to be trained, to be nurtured, to be given a life where the opportunity to seek the relationship between her and Heavenly Father that will lead to an eternity in that blessed place we call heaven. And Lord, we thank you for this child. Bless her and keep her. Amen. the same with you. Major. Major Alexander, in the name of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we dedicate you, wishing all good things for you, praying all protection of you, Lord, that love and the parents, the grandparents, certainly you have. Lord, we ask this church to be with us in this dedication, that this children can be raised up, rightly brought up, to love the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, for eternal heaven as the as our ultimate goal. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have one for each child. So, aren't they pretty? Thank you, parents. Thank you. And if there are many family members, I don't know, I don't want to embarrass you or not, but I'm asking you to stand. I won't do that. But there is a godfather and godmother, and so thank you for being with us. That's a role. Sometimes we don't think about it, and a lot of people don't think about that role. But you have taken on somewhat of a part of these children's lives. So God bless you. Thank you for that.
Wow, wasn't that good? Amen. Amen and amen. Let's stand and sing, shall we? Let's lift our voices in praise this morning.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy, the sacrifices of joy.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. Count your blessings.
Upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. See what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Amen. Psalm 118, let's read together.
Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
All my life.
and you're the creator of salvation. We just praise you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be here this morning. Let's share some praises. But we want to do, when we have our prayer requests, a lot of times we pray for things and we don't hear the answer. So if we prayed for something before and there's been an answer, let us know this morning so we can give God the glory. Oh, we have one here? Okay.
I just want to thank the Lord for answering prayer. My mother is doing much better. And I just want to thank the Lord for answered prayer. And she's here with me today. So this is my mother, Jenny Hamilton.
My name is Mary Frances, and Vera published that my friend Mark Turner might lose his leg. He didn't. The surgeons were able to save it, and I thank for your prayers.
I just wanted to thank everybody for your support in the loss of my mother 1 month ago today, and I want to support those people who have lost loved ones recently, and I want to thank God for a blessing that my mom didn't suffer when she died. I prayed for that for the past year, and that God didn't give my family more than we could handle, meaning, you know, she didn't fall and break a hip, and we didn't find her in a state where she couldn't go on, and it was difficult for us for a long period of time. And we just want to thank God for the blessing that she was to my family. She brought us up, she and Dad, in a Christian home. And the Harders know, I grew up in church with them, and Donna Wharton and a few other people in the sanctuary. And I wouldn't be where I am today with my journey with God if it wasn't for my mother.
Says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, right? Lift up your heart to God.
Good morning, folks. I'm a visitor just passing through, but I always try to give a word of encouragement to people today because the times are tough, and the times are going to get a lot tougher, folks. Because God's refining the true church today. And we the people need to be standing on the solid rock. Because if that's not where you are, you're going to be consumed by the fire. Because the fire's coming very quickly. So I always encourage people, this is my family. I do evangelism. We're in a different church every Sabbath. But I give God the glory and honor that he loves me so much. That he gives me the privilege to share his word with his people. And today, folks, how many of you believe that our United States of America needs awakened? And how many of you believe that God can still heal his people? And how many of you are willing to walk with him today and say, hallelujah, Lord, here am I. And I want to serve you, because every day you walk out that door, you're either serving the Lord or you're serving the world. And the world has already known for a long period of time that God never fails. Even the things that are happening in Israel and Jerusalem and in every other nation on the face of this earth today, God's hand is in all of it, even our nation. It's time for us as a people to stand up and be counted. It's time for us as Christians to say, Lord, I want to serve you today. I want to be your servant. I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to do good unto others. I want to be a blessing. Isn't that what we should be doing, folks? Because most of the people I meet every day, that's not where they're at. They're all about self-righteousness. And God has no place in that. So my hope for all of you today is, if you came to his house, come with thanksgiving in your heart.
Any other praise this morning? In the back.
I just want to thank God. You've been praying for my cousin who was at one point involved in human trafficking, and I am happy to report that she was recently baptized. So thankful.
Yeah. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here to your house. Lord, we know this house doesn't save us, but it's a place for us to gather in your name, to worship you, Lord, to call out to you, to thank you for the things you've done for us. Thank you for the praises that have been expressed this morning. Father, be with those who need a special touch from you this morning, those who may not have been able to make it to church this morning because of health or some other reason, but pray you just touch them. Bless this service this morning, Lord, as Pastor Russ preaches to us this morning. Be with us as we listen to the music. Be with these little babies that were dedicated. Lord, that's the next generation, and we pray for the next generation that's here that's going to be raised up, that needs to hear about you, and some that don't even know any of the stories in the Bible because they've never been taught. So we just pray for opportunities for them to be able to hear who you are and to be able to see what you can do and to be able to carry on the gospel. Help us, Lord, during these times to be your witnesses, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. Be with those who have already passed on that are in heaven before us, that we can look forward to seeing them again someday. But let us not finish, Lord, unworthily, but let us finish the race doing the best that we can. We don't know how long we're going to be here, but let us do what we can while we're here through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we just give you the praise in your name. Amen.
Quit hiding on me, Dave.
Okay, so we added Thaddeus to the mix here. Thaddeus is our 17-year-old, and so we're going to play an arrangement of a hymn called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and it seems to be going with what we're talking about today about our blessings. So this week we always pause and think about everything we're grateful for during Thanksgiving week, and we just, our cup overflows, right, with blessings, and we can't even keep up with our blessings. That's what we often say. So I'm going to read the first verse of the words, just so you have them in your head. All the verses are good. It says, Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love.
Time, leading their children to the Lord. Wonderful child, but they couldn't be here today, so I'm here. My attempt at humor sometimes is hard. Sometimes you really have to help me with this. So if you think it could be, laugh. It might be. It's supposed to be funny, in other words. You know, I was looking at the picture here on the name of the title of the sermon. They like your sermon's title, dear. I've discussed that every time. The title I gave her was helping. What was it, the title I actually gave you? Raising children who know God's ways. I think it might be edited some. She might edit that. There's a little bit on me, but. And I thought, well, you know, for our normal congregation, you might think that's a little late in life, because typically our normal congregation is a little bit older than, we do have a few children here, and I'm so glad we do, but as you know, as we have gotten older, raising children has never ended, has it? You are still with your children when they're in their senior years and older years, yes. I've heard tell of some children who are old enough to be grandparents are still, and if we're lucky enough to have their parents, are still being, raised or helped by their parents. Other parents are step in when needed to help the children. Certainly, grandparents have a big part in raising all children. The great influence can be brought about by that. So I don't think I'm so old, because you do have nieces. You are somebody's aunt. You are somebody's uncle. You're somebody's friend. You're a member of this congregation, and so the children that come to this congregation are kind of step in there. I'm not going to say run, don't run over the mother, but when you see that child, make sure you say hello to that child, bless that child with the encouragement of your love. You know, just with that child, just when you see that child, let them know you're glad to see them. You're glad they're here. Children, when you play those instruments, we're glad you play those instruments. It's just a joy to us. It's a wonderful one. Express that. Let them know. And be sincere and be caring. We can all do that no matter what our age or no matter what our stage in life, even if we're done with what we might call our primary duty of raising our physical or biological children. We still have that supplementary duty of there's other children out there. You know, we have children we'll never see. Look at these boxes up in here. I've read the accounts, and you have too if you've read any of Billy Graham's materials. It comes out of the Billy Graham Evangelical Association. And the different materials they have, you know, how young children have found the Lord because of an item or the love that came from that box. Couples have found marriage. I guess they had a couple of children in two different places that actually somehow or another, I don't remember the story, but they found their life's mate through the love that was expressed through that box. And so there are many wonderful ways that we can still, even though we're not involved in those child-rearing years ourselves, be a help and a part of those who are. And again, remember, I don't think till the day my mommy passed away, she was still raising her baby boy. She was still helping her baby boy. She was still praying for her baby boy. So, I'm going to start out with the reading a section out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You should talk to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Sounds like pretty much all the time, doesn't it? Yeah. You shall bind them on the sign of your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. Right there, little box with these notes in it, you know, reminding you. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's quite a bit of attention to be given to the command that we're about to listen to. And I know a lot of you are first going to say, or you might be defending or thinking about thoughts, you know, you think, well, you know, how often have I heard that Proverb 22, you know, the one that says, that, you know, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from that. I believe it. But a lot of times we think, wow, how many times has that been thrown out? How many times has that been, you know, the argument can be used that godly parents whose children do not follow the ways. The children that were brought up in the way of the Lord, and yet they've went another way. Well, there's no guarantee on this particular thing that will happen. But one thing that you got to understand the nature of that verse, or the real being, one of the true natures of that verse is, when we train up a child, we're training them up in the way that the Lord is directing them. We have to be in concert with the Lord. The child needs to be in concert with the Lord. There's a training that we are to do everything possible to help that child find the person and become the person that God wants that child to be. And if that child doesn't connect with the Lord in such a way that he's asked forgiveness of sins and been accepted as a child of the King, then there's nothing, you know, we can still love the child, we can still help the child, but we cannot do anything to change that child's just decision other than be a witness to that child, be a loving concern of that child, to a loving person to that child. The Catholic Church used to say, if you give us your children until they're 5 years old, they'll be a Catholic for life, you know? And that's why, because of the training that goes in as part of that early church training they have. It's so indoctrinal. It's so thorough. It's so geared toward the age of that children that it becomes a part of their life, and it becomes a part of them. Simply, you know, but we also know that that's not also a truism for ever either, because there are some children who are born Catholic into Catholic homes, and they don't remain Catholic for their whole life. That happens also. Simply said, human beings have one thing that's got to be taken in, and these are variables. And one of the greatest variables that a human being has is free will. I heard a sermon coming in this morning. I can't remember the gentleman that was preaching it, but he was talking even about the devil. You know, how did the devil, God's created creature, the head cherubim above all cherubims, turn around and become the archenemy of God? Because he had that one thing, free will. He had the free will to make a decision. And the decision he made took him from being the number two in heaven itself to being the archenemy of God, bound for a pit of eternity in hell. So why people have the choice of free will? The reasons people make choices are influenced. They're influenced by feelings, experiences, training, knowledge, faith, desires, maturity, family history, cultural. Many of the minds and the body's influence can combine and formulate the choice that would be made by any individual. And so we need to be a part of that choice. We need to be a part of that child's reconnoitering. When the child is considering, what should I do? We need to have ingrained in that child, you know, the love of God, the preciousness of church, the preciousness of life, the biblical truths that can take us through whatever circumstances of life we're up against. We may not always understand them. We may not always get, you know, the answer we want to everything. But we can have the strength. We have the place to go to run to. We have the person to go to run to. We have the general knowledge that we are able then to make it through. The gentleman that stood up here, our Barnabas, our encourager, you know, he stands up and encourages people, as we all need to be encouragers, you know, and standing up, encouraging one, and encourage children, bring them around to some may just say, if it's not a freebie, I don't want to work so hard, so I'm not even going to give it a try. They're talking about raising their children. I can't make them do this. I just let them do whatever they want to. You know, I was watching the high state football, and Minnesota did that. It's called the punt. You know, I got a ball. I can't do nothing with it, so I'm just going to give it a kick and see where it goes. Yeah, that's what they do with their children. Got a child, can't do nothing with it. I'm just going to give it a good old kick and see where it goes. The punt method. It doesn't work very well. That's not a good way to train up a child. And then there's another way people want to train their children. And this one, I have to bite my tongue. And by the way, if you notice, sometimes my words do slur and slip. When I had the biopsy on my tongue, I think she took a little chunk out too much or something. I do not know how them people stand that thing stuck through the tongue. You know, they get those things stuck through their tongue, and they that has got to be the most painful thing. When she gave me a shot to make my tongue numb, that shot hurt like the dickens. You know? And to have one of the things stuck to your tongue 24 hours a day, I do not know how they do that. I give them a, you know. But anyway, there's sometimes so please just pardon me if my tongue twiddles a little bit. But I have to fight my tongue when I hear people say this one. We're not going to teach our children anything. You know, we're going to let them grow up and pick their own way. Isn't that about the most ridiculous thing you ever heard? We're just going to let them pick their own way. There's a lot of ways out there. You know, that's not too much different from the punt direction. I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to give it a punt and let it go. You know, can't do anything with it. Just going, you know, that's a... The idea that your child, after living 4, 5, 6 years trying to make and making their own decisions without guidance, without control, without
without understandings of consequences, that they're going to make the right decisions is very, very slim. And so you'd have one miraculous child if you came up with a child that was had much success with that kind of a training. Do you feel the same way about taking medicines or playing with fire? You know, how should we let our children handle rattlesnakes? You know, of course you don't. You're not going to sit out there and let your child say, "Oh, honey, if you want to play with that fire, that'd be okay." You know, just make sure you don't burn the curtains. You know, we don't do that. We in our brains, God has given us enough sense to know not to do that. Well, He's even done better at that with our training for the Lord. He's not only given us enough sense to know what's the better thing to do is, He's given us the commandment to do it. He didn't say, if you want to do it, He said, it's a command, we'll give it to you. Listen up. This is what I want you to do. This is how you train your children. If you train your children, you can find out have a lot better life. They'll have a lot better life. And then the wonderful thing about this is, and this is what I like, this just thrills my heart every time I think about it. You know, my mommy and daddy's gone. My brother's gone. A lot of people, you know, the same thing. A lot of people you know and love are gone. But we know if they're in Christ Jesus, one day we'll be with them. Amen. We'll be all together again, you know. And that's a wonderful, terrific, that's the hope of Christianity. That's the hope of, you know, what Jesus did on the cross is a wonderful blessing. Not only do we have eternity with Christ, we have eternity with all those that we loved and have accepted Christ as a personal Savior. And so you look at that, He trained up a child with that kind of a hope. You train up a child with that kind of a hope. I believe biblically and personally training is mandated and is commanded. The way to shape a child into an adult and a child into an adult that desires to serve God. Amen. As children called, as Christ called the children to Him, when His disciples tried to keep the children away, what did Christ do? He called the children to Him, didn't He? He knows the child, how important and loving it is to love children when they're little. Get to them when they're little. So I try to put together, without being an expert on anything, but I have had some children I've had the opportunity to love and be with. I have had other children I've had relationship with through educational processes and whatever. And so this is what I'm going to share with you about what might be helpful for us when it comes to dealing with children and training them up in the way that God would have us to. Heavenly Father, as we've read these scriptures and considered the necessity, may we take some of these points to our hearts. May there be value in what's said so that Your kingdom, Lord, will be increased, so that pains and things that maybe can be averted because we've listened to the will of God. We've used Your words, Your anointed words, as our placard that we try to follow in life, so that our eternity can be there in heaven where we desire it to be, with Jesus Christ and all those that we love in Christ. In Your name we pray, amen. Amen. I think, first of all, we need to teach about God's love to Jesus, God's love to children. Amen. Children are susceptible to that, aren't they? Jesus realized that. Don't screw away. Don't come back when you're older. A lot of times I might have tendency. Well, you're just a child. You don't understand. When their child is young, let them receive the love. In most children, there is a loving, trusting personality, a soft heart that is receptive to genuine love. To genuine love. A lot of poor children today are being used and abused. But that doesn't change that heart of that child is receptive to genuine love. And God has created the human being in such a way. There is no more perfect life to build on than the one that is free of many of sin's consequences. A child who's only lived a few years hasn't faced a lot of, some have, and it's sorry to say, many more than they should have. But they haven't come across a lot of the hard decisions of sin or the consequences of sin. And so I say this So their lives haven't been hurt in a lot of ways that have caused scarring and argument about the acceptance of Christ and who he is. And that's why I say it's realizing that adults in this their own self. I say this realizing that adults in their own self-satisfying life choices are continuing and at younger ages to expose their children to much more harsh and evil and adult circumstances than they should ever be able to be around. Adults are doing this, friends. Selfish adults who are concerned about satisfying their own choices play upon the children. And some of them in ways we don't want to talk about, but they play upon children in different ways. They play upon the children in the way that they let them see too many things on TV. They play upon the children. I tell you what, I worked with little children, and some of the words you heard or the things you heard come out of them baby's mouth, they didn't pick that up anywhere except mommy and daddy or TV. And so these they were getting trained. So you're training your child up one way or the other. You're either following the principles of God and training them up with a biblical foundation, or you're training them up into the foundation of the world, which I'm telling you, the devil is the king of the world, and he's doing a real good job right now of taking it down into the pit with him. He's doing a real good job. People are following, and they don't see the difference. This is easily seen. This is the ways we treat our children, or don't share the right things with our children. On that little 85-inch square box we hang on the wall. You know, used to talk about a little square TV. It was in a, you know, when it started out, 20 inches or whatever. 85-inch boxes of sinfulness. This is all over the wall. You know, all the sinfulness you want to see. Just right there. The whole wall is plastered with it. Life size. You know? And I'm not preaching against TV. You know what I'm saying? Responsible. Be responsible with what's on that TV. Be responsible with what that baby sees. Be responsible with what those children see. Be responsible because of what you see. What once had many protective devices and filters is a venue of trash. And you don't want to let that trash enter the mind of your child. Amen. Bless your children with church attendance. Church make it a blessing each time one of these children enter the doors of this house. Make it a blessing for them. Again, like I said, love them. Tell them how much you care for them. Invite them to share with you what they might have learned at their school or what they might have been did in a sport event or whatever. Just listen. Teach to each child's heart. Help the child to consider God's involvement in their life. How can God make things possible or impossible? You know, a lot of times when we read the Bible and we use it and we have a Bible, historical Bible, truth Bible, where you look at that and you say, how could that, you know, we talk about Daniel in the lion's den. And we talk about the Hebrew children, the fiery furnace. We talk about Noah's Ark, and we say those are almost supernatural things, and absolutely they are supernatural. We explain to these children how supernatural God can get involved with natural man and cause miracles and supernatural things. And have the child understand that. God is above and able to do more than we can even imagine. God is able to make the impossible possible. Now, if we read here in verses 7 and 8 again, I'm just going to repeat those words. You shall teach them diligently. This command, you should teach it diligently to your children. Do you ever work up the word diligent? Diligent means with effort. It means when you sit, when you walk down. When it's what the command teaches us. When we lie down, when we rise up, we should make special reminders for these children. You know, teach your child diligently, not just once in a while when I can, but in everything we do and say, I let them understand God's place in it. If you see the creek that runs down by through, you know, across the meadow, explain to them God created that. If you see the fish in the creek, you know, explain, bring God's blessings into all the things of the earth. Children, like adults, need to now teach them obedience. Children, like adults, need caution against disobedience. The choices of disobedience have consequences. Proverbs remind us of parental corrections, and it can be useful, given in a positive, in a motivating way. We've all remember the verse, spare the rod and spoil the child. I'm not going to tell you what to do with children. My education in the public education included that they applied the Board of Education to the Seed of Learning. We did get wax. I'm not going to be a proponent of that or another, because wax wrongly given are no better than anything else. But there were consequences to our actions. And I told you, I remember the last set of wax I got, I was like in the eighth grade. And I happened to, after many, many years, I was in the Air National Guard as a recruiter, and I walked into West High School, and this gentleman, he had been at Buckeye Junior High when he gave me the wax, but he was over here working at West High School, and I remember his name was Mr. Strell. And I looked at him, I said, Mr. Strell, I was in my uniform with all my accoutrements on it, my badges and my ribbons and all this, looking really good, you know. I looked at him, Mr. Strell, you probably don't remember me, do you? And he looked at me. No, he didn't remember me right off. I said, well, I was wanting to know, you gave me my last set of wax in school in the eighth grade, and I just wanted you to know that. And you know what he said to me? He said, made you a better person, didn't it? You know, see, it was the reason for the punishment. The reason for the punishment wasn't, he was not mad at me and wanted to bust on a little, you know, how old are you in eighth grade? 14, 13 years old, you know? He wanted to make a better person of me. He wanted me to learn his consequences. You do stupid things and these kind of things happen to you, you know? My wife's mother had a paddle remember your paddle grandma had? Did I lose somebody? But anyway, grandma had a paddle, and it was, Jeremy, what do you have? Have cotton all over it or something? Grandma's paddle? Oh. My grandmother, your grandmother never hit you with a paddle like that in your life. My grandma's paddle hung on the wall, and it was soft. I think it was so flimsy it wouldn't even stand straight. Yeah, it was one of these things. You've seen them hanging in the stores, you know. Now, my wife tells me there was at least a yardstick involved in her growing up. But, you know, I'm not telling you whether children should be motivated by that. But what we do need to know is they do, whether it's timeout, whether it's loss of loss of rewards or whatever. When you don't teach obedience, you will not do that child any favors. They must learn obedience. They must learn obedience to the systems. They must learn obedience to the schools. They must learn obedience to the Lord. Amen. What we see on the news is a product of no training of God, or the wrong training of God. You tell us you hate violence, but you celebrate the tearing up of cities. You celebrate when a legislation opposing biblical viewpoints on life is passed. That's all celebratory. But we say we hate violence, you know. But we're willing to, if it gets us, you know. You tell us you want equality, but you steal what isn't yours, shooting and taking a life, or shooting or hurting a policeman who's just trying to do his duty and protect the area. Godly directed consequences to obedience, to disobedience, is necessary. But no one is given authority to overpunish their child, provoking or discouraging them from God's love. Remember, even, you know, what's said during Ephesians. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of God. I thought I'd share this word admonition with you. The word admonition, gentle or friendly criticism. It's not harsh. Admonishing a child is not harsh. It's looking at that child and friendly, gentle, give them the criticism they need to make it go right. God has a corrective device. God has a corrective device. It's called the Bible. The earlier in life a person submits, the less trouble may become your way. Life's decisions made through God's filter are beneficial to the soul. Last thing I want to say, and you're saying amen, thank you, is teach your children about God as if you were commanded to do so. Why? Because you are commanded to do so. We just read this there in Deuteronomy several times. You know, let me tell you about this commandment. He says, this is after giving the Ten Commandments. Just before this, we received the Ten Commandments. We have first five of those, our relationship between man and God. The second five of those are between man and man. Then we're given the greatest commandment, okay, which is this one. It says, you know, the greatest commandment is that we teach our children, you know, the way of God, that we teach our children the way of the Lord. Now that brought up, remember when Jesus was with the Pharisees and all these, and everybody, there's this big discussion, question period happening on, and one of the Pharisees says, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Well, to love your Lord, to God, with all your might, soul, and your strength. You know, Jesus, and then he looked at him and said, well, there's one more. Love your neighbor as yourself. So even Jesus in his ministry recognized the greatest commandment is to love the Lord. And in loving the Lord, we will train, and like I say, recognizing when the children came up, we will train those children. We will bring them to a place of understanding the best we have ability to the best of our ability to love. You know, I worked in a school district with some harsh little children. It's hard to believe sometimes that by 8 years old, you can be walking down the hall with a child and have him just turn around and bust the next child as hard as he can right in the face. Just for no reason, whatever, and look at you and say, I got my comebacks. I've got my get-backs. You know, no other reason. Just to walk down the hall, and that was my job for most. I was trying to protect the other children from sometimes the child that was with me because they would be so overtly or just without warning to go off and hurt somebody and hurt another child for no reason. And I've been in a room, and I don't understand all the philosophies. We can take a child who's throwing a fit, put him in a room, let him throw everything he wants to, let him yell anything he wants to, let him destroy anything he wants to, and he's going to be better off for it. I don't understand that. But I do tell you one thing, and the Lord has pressed on me, when these children, when I went with them and they've been doing that thing, I've never been angry with them. You know, of course, it wasn't my stuff. They were tearing up. I did get hit a lot. But I never got angry with them. A child hit me right in the face. I've had children bust my glasses. Just look at them. But when I could, and I wasn't supposed to do this, but when I could, I'd look at them when I could, and an appropriate, you need a bear hug. And I'd just give them a little hug, the ones I could. And you know what? I smoothed out a lot of times. You know, a child is very in need of love. A child is very in need to know somebody cares about them. And, you know, and so a lot of times, what the educators in their what they do and choose to do for these children, I don't understand it, but I know when I was given the opportunity, the things I chose was to try to love that child a little bit, and give that child just a little bit of understanding. And you know, many of them, it would go from throwing things to Mr. Harless, and they just laid their head there. You know? Well, when we look at all the precious children in the church today, who would not want to do God's best for any and all of them? We do all we can to provide the best in car seats, cribs, and formulas. But let's not give up on providing the training that God's given us to give them. The best training. It's effective into making their world a better place, making them better people. But it's also the only way through Jesus Christ that they'll find that eternal life. And so I submit probably on the level of pedagogy, of teaching, I probably have not done well on this paper. But I do know that the Bible and those verses, if read, and if lived, and if incorporated into a child's life, and is an active role in all those that are part of the inspiration of that child. You know, if you look at a child and you think, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to share, you know, my life, I lived in a very good, you know, when I was young, my parents they didn't have alcohol or anything like that in the house, whatever, but my dad would not let his kids pick up a beer bottle. I used to make my mom so aggravated, we'd find after we drank the root beer out of a jar, we'd get that brown jar and turn it around and act like we was drinking something else. And we'd save in bottles just to aggravate her sometimes, I think. We used to take the little cigarettes you got at Halloween and pretend to smoke them because mommy hated them. But I know when I came to the Lord as an adult, I had been in the child, I'd been raised in the church, I came, you know, I had left the church like many do. But when I came to the Lord as an adult, that little boy over here, he was about 3 years old. He picked up a beverage I had sitting next to me, and he wanted a drink of it. And I said, no, no. And I've never drank since. I didn't want that little boy to fall into those habits. And you know what? I wasn't going to the church at the time, but I went to church. And the next thing I know, I'm taking him because I want him to hear the stories. I want him to know what God's truths are. And while I'm sitting there waiting on him in his little children's church, I'm listening to the preacher preach. And the preacher preaches the gospel. And the Holy Spirit comes down on Rusty. And the Holy Spirit says, Rusty, you better get right. I'll tell you what, training up a child can do a whole lot for a daddy. Can do a whole lot for an adult too, because you can be brought into the way. The Holy Spirit can be speaking to you. Amen. Just and he speaks to you to the rightness of wanting to do what's right for that child. So yeah, I know this is a little bit personal today. These two little babies, they're going to be such fun. And they're going to have their tears, and they're going to have their good times, they're going to have their bad times. But if all possible, this grandpa is going to let him know that there's a Jesus, that there's a heaven, that there's a way we need to live. And the best I can live it in front of him, and the best that I can share it with them, both of them, the boy, Sarah and Stella and Major, and my little buddy James over here. We don't forget James. May we always live a life in front of them, and even my children, that they can know that heaven is true, God and the Bible is true, and it's not something we just do on Sunday. It's something we take with us every day of the week. I wrote a little song. I'm not going to sing too much, but I told you one time. It says, Jesus is not just for Sundays. He wants to live with you. So don't leave him out on Monday. We're going to have no part of you. Yeah, he wants all of you. He don't want you just Sunday morning. He wants you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So on Saturday night, don't go out and do something you'd be ashamed of on Sunday. Because he wants you to be right, bright and clean Sunday morning. Come worship him. You know, don't, you can't hide under the sheet on Wednesday because they'll know. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for, Lord, the opportunity what a wonderful day this has been. We've had children share music with us. We've had visitors share their love with us. Lord, we've had those that have come to see the children be dedicated and they want to be a part of their lives. And Lord, we have so much excitement today. And so we ask you to leave from here blessings of our Lord, the knowledge that you're true, and the Lord that we're going to live a week that just going to be a good week because we were here Sunday and got blessed and blessed and blessed again on the word of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand, shall we? Let's sing. There is within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Let's sing that chorus. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I close in prayer, shall we? Father, it's good to be in your house this morning. It's because of Jesus that we're here today. Not just because of Jesus in his walk, in his ministry, but because he died on the cross to save us from our sin. Lord, help us to live that and breathe that as we go forward, even as we raise our children and talk to our grandchildren. May they see Jesus in everything that we do. And I think if we do that, we've accomplished what you've called us to do. You've called us to be set apart and to be your servants. We pray that we'll go out and serve you this week in Jesus' name.